Welcome to the Vocation Hour with Father Stephen DeLacy, Director of the Vocation Office for Diocesan Priesthood in Philadelphia. This program is produced by the Archdiocese in conjunction with Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here is your host, Father DeLacy.
Okay, welcome to the Vocation Hour. This is Father DeLacy. I'm the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It's a great joy to bring you the message of vocations. We're here on the show building up a culture of vocations. We have in store for you a wonderful show. We have two amazing guests who are living the vocation that God's calling them to and about to inspire us with their stories. But just wanted to make a little reflection, especially we're in the midst of this year of mercy. And God's mercy is so overabundant. And one of the ways he shows his mercy to us is he provides for us vocations. One of the convictions we have is that, you know, there's really no vocation crisis, that we believe that God's providing the church plenty of vocations to the priesthood, plenty of vocations to the religious life, plenty of vocations to the married life, that every aspect of the church's needs are being provided for by God, because every vocation is a gift that comes from God, and it's a gift of God's mercy. The challenge we have in the church today is a response crisis or a discipleship crisis, that we are not the people of God that are saying to God, whatever you want me to do, I will do. So often, we try to fit God into our lives as opposed to allowing our lives to fit into what God has prepared for us. And so as we continue to engage this year of mercy, one of the beautiful experiences of God's mercy is to grow in this knowledge of, you know, we don't fit God in our lives. You know, God is bigger than that. That we fit into God's plan, into God's love, we fit into God's life in a beautiful way. And once we recognize that, there is just such a beautiful freedom when we fit into God's life. And so, you know, this year of mercy, there's many wonderful graces. And one of the graces is people come to know who they are in the life of God. It's a joy and pleasure that is beyond all understanding. It's eternal. It's tapping into what's of heaven. And so all of us need to work on our identity issues. To whatever extent we don't see ourselves as being loved by God and being God's beloved children, we need to embrace this new identity. I saw on the internet, somebody sent me this, you know, this news clip on the internet, and I'm praying it's a spoof. I hope it's not true. You know, like, you know what they say, you can't believe everything that's on the internet. I don't necessarily believe if it's on YouTube doesn't mean it's true. You know, like, I do believe that. But there are a group of people that was reported in the UK that over 10,000 people were suffering from this or experiencing or engaging this transspeciesism, that they were dressing up as cats and dogs, mostly men as dogs and women as cats. They would wear these skin-tight suits, and they would walk around, and they would live their life identifying as an other species. I hope it's only a spoof, but, you know, if it's a spoof, then it's highlighting this sense of identity crisis that's present in our culture, that we're not comfortable with who we are. And the reason why we're not comfortable with who we are is because we don't know the Father who has created us out of love, and he's created us for a purpose. Do we know the purpose? Do we know the one who has loved us into existence? When we have that experience of the Father's love, then we're comfortable with who we are and enthusiastic with who we are. You know, if people really don't even want to be, you know, the human species, you know, I still don't understand that, you know, as you can probably tell in my voice, you know, then that's a sign of this deep woundedness that this lack of identity, you know, has given to us. And those, as I said, who have the fullest identity, you know, they then are able to embrace the mission that God has for them, which is their vocation. So the best thing we can do to foster a culture of vocations is for all of us to know our great identity as God's children and to preach it from the rooftops, that God so loves us that he's made us his sons and daughters because he loves us this much. Well, wow, I'm Father DeLisi. I'm the vocation director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Very excited to be here. You know, it's a hot time of the year, but our Lord is doing some great things. Just an invitation, and this is spectacular. You know, the Archdiocese is having a new auxiliary bishop, you know, Bishop-elect Edward Delaman, who is a great and holy priest, and he's going to be a great and holy, you know, bishop, auxiliary bishop for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. His mission will be primarily to build up the Hispanic apostolate, which is such an important and dynamic and growing part of the church. And he's going to be ordained August 18th at 2 o'clock at the Saints Peter and Paul Cathedral in Center City, Philadelphia. The good news is everyone is invited to this. It's not a ticketed event. Anyone can come, bring your families. If you've never been to an ordination, treat yourself to experience this, especially if you've been to an ordination of a deacon or a priest. It's, you know, an Episcopal ordination, an ordination that makes a priest a bishop, you know, makes it is such a beautiful ceremony. And you will be inspired, you will gain great insight into the faith, and you're going to see a good holy priest before our eyes become a good holy bishop, and the church is going to be so blessed by that. So come bring your friends and family on August 18th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in the city. All are welcome to come. My name is Father DeLisi. I'm the Vocation Director. You're listening to the Vocation Hour. It's great to have you here. And we are about to introduce two of our great seminarians. Both of these seminarians have successfully completed their first year in the seminary. Both started at different spots, and we'll hear all about that. They are, you know, wonderful men of God who have stepped up in their own lives and answered God's call. They put aside their own agenda to follow God's agenda in their life, and they really are a blessing to have us here. So I'm going to introduce the man who's going into second college. He just finished first college, you know, Mr. Greg Miller, who is with us tonight. Do you want to say hello, Greg?
Hello, this is Greg.
And Greg, tell us, what parish are you from?
I'm from Sacred Heart in Royersford.
Wonderful, that's great. And if you don't mind me asking, how old are you right now?
I'm 20. Today's my birthday.
Shut up. I did not know that. Well, we have to celebrate this. And so I'm not going to sing because that would be you know, bad. But let's say a little birthday prayer for you. And I ask everyone to join in. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the gift of Greg Miller. We pray for Greg as he celebrates his birthday, that you pour upon him every grace and blessing in the heavens, continue to strengthen his vocation, continue to allow him to grow in greater holiness and deepen his identity of being your son. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Great news, Greg. Thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. Happy birthday.
Thank you. That's
wonderful. And then we have Chris Mazzaro here too. He's completed his first year in the seminary, and we'll get a sense of why this is, but his first year in the seminary was the spirituality year. So Chris, do you want to say hello to us?
Hey everybody, I'm Chris Mazzaro. Thanks for having me on the air, Father.
Absolutely. And tell us, where are you from?
I'm from Coatesville, so it's outside the western part of the diocese, and I'm from Our Lady of the Rosary Parish.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we have Royersford represented here in Coatesville. And Coatesville, there actually is, for Holy Spirit Radio, there is a radio station there, so they should be hearing our signal loud and clear in beautiful Coatesville. So it's wonderful. So Greg, you know, why are you a seminarian? What, you know, tell us your vocation story.
Yeah, no problem. In my junior year of high school, I saw everyone else starting to apply to colleges and finding out what they wanted to do, and then I wanted to find out what I wanted to do. And as I was thinking about where I wanted to go, I thought back to second grade when I told my parents and that I wanted to be a priest. You know, I looked up to them as holy figures and responsible and. I wanted to be a priest at that time, and then around fifth grade, that thought went away, and I wanted to be an engineer. I thought that would be a lot of fun. So, but then it wasn't until the end of my junior year where I started to think, well, you know, what do I want to do, and then what does God want me to do? And I thought, I prayed a lot about this, and I prayed all through the summer, all through the fall, and then it was in the winter when I decided that, you know, God is calling me to be a seminarian at this time, and that he wants me to enter the seminary. So that's when I picked up the phone and called Father DeLacy. It was a really trying time, and I spent a lot of time in Eucharistic adoration and just asking the question, you know, what do you want me to do with my life, Lord? Because it's not just about what I wanted to do. It's about what God wanted me to do, where I could impact the most people in, through my life, through his will for me. So,
And so you have this plan of being, I want to be an engineer. Like if I had the choice, and God gives us the choice, and a lot of times we say like, oh, this is my choice to make, and God gave me the right to choose, and so I'm going to just make the choice and that sort of thing. Though God may have an other plan that's different from what we may choose, and you experienced that where you would have chosen engineering, but instead God had the plan that you become a seminarian, and here you are having just completed your first year in the seminary. Let me make note that if you go to the Heed the Call website, you can see Greg. He is one of the stars of the Heed the Call film, a short film on, you know, the vocation to the priesthood and that sort of thing. And, you know, Greg, you have a couple good shots in there of, you know, being a new seminarian. I love the one scene where you're holding up a collar, like a clerical shirt that a priest would wear, and you're putting it up to your neck, envisioning yourself in a mirror, what you would look like, and you have that concerned look, and you're like, what am I getting into? I'm trusting God, and that sort of thing. You did a great job.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so you can see Greg on the Heed the Call website. If you go to the featured films, you can make your way to the Heed the Call, the film. And you know, Greg is a big star there, and he there's a couple of film signings that he has lined up, and we'll communicate that to you. So Chris Massaro, you just completed your first year in the seminary, and we want to hear about what your first years entailed and that sort of thing. But what, you know, tell us your story. How did you end up, you know, here as a seminarian?
Well, I to be honest, I never really, when I was early on in life, never really thought about the seminary at all. I went through public school my whole life, so from elementary school all the way up to high school, I was in public school, and I went to public college at Westchester University. And
Golden Rams.
Golden Rams, that's right. And throughout all that, it never crossed my mind, the priesthood. I was asked a couple times by the priest in college, Father Nordeman is his name, if I was interested at all in going on a come-and-see retreat or anything like that, and I just basically said no each time. Because I was pretty much dead set on marriage. And so I went through all this schooling and majored in physics at Westchester University. And so it was nearing the end of my college career, and I decided I want to go to graduate school and for medical physics. And so I went down to Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee. And I was down there, and I guess, honestly, it was pretty soon after I got down there, I just kind of started having thoughts about the priesthood and about leaving the program to enter the seminary. And honestly, I think one of the biggest things was just there were so many different changes going on in my life. I mean, I just left family, and I was now 13 hours away from home as opposed to a half hour from home, which is where I was in college. And, you know, friendships were changing, and I was meeting new people and just in a new place and studying new things. And so there was a lot going on, but there was one thing that was always consistent, and I always felt at home at Mass. And in the church, and because of everything that was going on and how much I was just kind of rocked by everything, I just really started going to Mass more and praying more, and to the point where I started going like 4 or 5 times a week, and then every day, and trying to do a holy hour every day. Like Greg said, you know, prayer is a big part of any decision like this, and so it was for me too. And you mentioned a couple of things as you were opening up the session. About an identity crisis, and then about putting aside your agenda and realizing that in the identity crisis, we realize that God has a purpose for us. And I think that was a big turning point for me, was recognizing that my life was not supposed to be lived merely in pursuit of my own will, like Greg said too, you know, kind of putting that aside, being willing to put that aside to follow God's will. I think it's important to know that, you know, God doesn't always just completely change the course of direction that we're on. He might just kind of adjust things a little bit because our desires are good, and sometimes they fall in line with what he wants for us. But I think in that situation for me, it was just, I don't know, just a lot changed. I realized that a Catholic life, a Christian life, was not meant to be lived selfishly, but was supposed to be selfless and lived for Jesus Christ. And so when I started to realize that and come to terms with that and accept it and I still am in a lot of ways, and I think I probably will be the rest of my life. I guess that's what the whole conversion of our life is about. But when I really started to come to terms with that, that's when these thoughts about the priesthood started coming, and they didn't go away. They got stronger, and to the point where I just couldn't ignore it anymore. So I called you up, Father, and we started working our way towards the seminary.
Woohoo! And the church picked up two phenomenal seminarians because, you know, both these men, you know, are given a great example of, you know, they're not living their lives, you know, for their own sake. They're living their lives for the sake of Christ. And that's the challenge that all of our listeners should be facing and asking yourself. Do you live your life for yourself, or do you live your life for Christ? You know, your life was given to Christ at your baptism, and your baptismal commitment then means that you are sharing in Christ's very life, and we fully engage that when we live for Him and not for ourselves. So at that, what a challenge you guys are bringing to them. One question I have to have is, I also am a graduate of Westchester University, Golden Rams.
So we have
a little Westchester pride happening here. And admittedly, though, I'm getting a little bit fuzzy. I understand when you said you were studying physics and that sort of thing. I know what it was. I know what it is to go into the medical field. But when you brought together medical physics, I'm like, my mind was just, I'm doing that motion where my mind was blown and my hands are both sides and the fingers are going up. My mind was blown when you just said that.
Sure.
It's pretty cool. I don't know if you can quickly explain what is medical physics.
I think, I'll give you a brief little explanation. So the first thing is, it's a very small field. So it's not surprising that you have never heard of that. And most of the listeners probably haven't heard of it either. And it's you can do a number of different things in medical physics, but what I was doing was basically, it was a doctorate degree in therapeutic medical physics, which means I'd be working with treating cancer patients, mainly cancer patients, with radiation therapy. And so a lot of the physicist jobs have to do with making sure the machinery that's used actually functions properly, so that when you treat a patient, you're actually treating them how you want to treat them so that they can get better.
Wow, that great explanation. I understood that. And and thank God we have people out there doing this work and studying that. That's wonderful. But our Lord had a higher calling
in
a sense. And instead of, you know, making sure that you know, machinery is working correctly for physical healing, you're helping to make sure that the machinery of the church is working for spiritual healing.
It's a good analogy. I like it.
That was a bit of a stretch, but thanks for accommodating me, guys. Anyway, so, well, Greg, what went into your first year? We call it first college. So, you know, it sounds like you were living the college life and that sort of thing to describe what the college life looks like at a seminary campus.
It was such a blessing, just to be looking back on this year and thinking about it. Let's see what goes into it. You focus more on your studies and prayer, and you know, all colleges focus on studies, but most colleges don't really focus on prayer. You know, in the daily life, and that's a main focus here at St. Charles, and so I was blessed to be in, you know, at St. Charles, and so we start off every day with morning prayer and mass, and then we'll get breakfast, and then we'll go to class, and then when classes are over, you get to choose your classes like a normal college as well, and that's nice. But when the classes are over, you know, we'll have some free time to do our homework and studies and pray, and then just to hang around and play basketball and ultimate frisbee, and then we'll come together again at the evening for evening prayer, and then from there we'll eat dinner together, and then we'll have the rest of the night, and sometimes we'll do night prayer together also.
Wonderful. Greg is a great enthusiast for ultimate frisbee. He played for a team in high school, and he also runs a tournament. So since you brought up ultimate frisbee, do you want to, or better said, ultimate, right? Because anyway,
that's right. Yeah,
I want to make sure that we're getting this correct here. Do you want to describe the ultimate tournament, aka ultimate frisbee tournament, that we run at the seminary?
Well, it's called the Classic, the Cassock Classic, and it's where a whole bunch of other college-aged, young adult youth groups, you know, come together, And then so all the Newman centers and all of that from around the area will come together, and then we'll play against each other in Frisbee. And it's a tournament style, you know, first place and all that. And we had like 150 people this last year. It was a lot of people. It was a lot of fun. I think the day went pretty well, not just because I organized it. But, no, I'm kidding. It was a great day. It's a lot of fun. It's great to be with other people, you know, the same age, with the same interests, you know, the same love and desire for God, and to be with them and to play sports with them. It's fun.
It's awesome. And we start with Mass, and there's a little, you know, spiritual talk at lunchtime, and it really is a great day of fellowship where you get to meet young adults and college students from other campuses, other young adult ministries, coming together, you know, competing with each other, but also, you know, sharing the faith on the beautiful campus that St. Charles Borromeo is. So, yeah, great, you know, Greg does a great job running it. If you want more information on the Catholic Classic, you can go to the website Heed the Call. And if you're hearing these stories and you're a man, you're thinking about the priesthood and you wish to talk to a priest, my full-time job is dedicated towards being available to men who are thinking about the priesthood. Be thrilled to talk to you, and you can get my contact information at the Heed the Call website. So, Chris, you went on a wonderful year, which is a unique experience. Not every seminary formation program would have this year be part of it, and it's referred to as the spirituality year. So do you want to describe what your experience of the spirituality year is?
Sure. So I guess maybe one of the first things, you know, Greg mentioned in his year, there's a big academic component. So I guess it's worth noting that there's the four pillars of formation. So we've got the human pillar. There's the apostolic pillar, which means like service-oriented things. There's the spiritual pillar. And then there's the academic or intellectual pillar. And so the year that I was on, the spirituality year, is devoted mainly towards the spiritual formation, so the spiritual pillar. And so basically what happened is there were nine of us in the year, seven of us from Philadelphia, and then two from outside the diocese. And we lived with a priest at a separate location about 20 minutes from the seminary called Don Guanella House of Formation. And so our lives for the year were basically centered around prayer in a big way. There were some academic components, and there were service components, and obviously human formation components as well. But the main focus was developing a relationship with Jesus Christ in prayer. And the whole year is basically designed so that it facilitates that development and that relationship. And it's a wonderful opportunity.
Great, wonderful. And well, you know, what are some of what's the culmination of the year to get the sense of where this year moves towards?
Sure. So it does move towards what I'm about to say. So all the listeners should recognize that we're not just taken off the street and thrown into this, because that tends to be the reaction by a lot of people. So
yes.
The last 30 days of the year we spent on a retreat. So a 30-day retreat, and we were silent for most of the retreat. There are a couple days in the retreat there that are built in and designed as part of it. To kind of get us out of the silence a little bit, but mainly about 90% of it or so was spent in silence. And we were in South Dakota. Doesn't have to happen in South Dakota. Mm-hmm. That's just where we went. And it's a retreat that's guided by the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. So St. Ignatius of Loyola was a saint who lived in the 1500s and wrote these exercises basically to make saints. That's why he wrote these exercises. And they're all about the life of Christ and the life of the individual in relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's what we did. And you spend a number of hours in individual prayer a day. Then you have spiritual direction for an hour every day. You have Mass. And then any number of other things that you want to work into your day in terms of prayer, as far as like the Liturgy of the Hours, your Rosary or the Divine Mercy Chaplet, anything like that. But everything aside from your meeting with your spiritual director and Mass is on your own. And so the whole year really works up to this 30-day retreat. It's tough to prepare yourself for 4 or 5 hours of individual prayer a day for 30 days. But that's what the year is basically designed to do. I mean, it's not basically designed to do that, but it does do that as you go. Because we pray each day. We had a holy hour every day. We had a couple of other retreats throughout the year to kind of work up to 30 days. We had classes on the Rules of Discernment by St. Ignatius. Spiritual direction, all kinds of things that kind of geared us up and really built us up to be able to go on the retreat. So that's really what it was. And it was an incredible incredible experience. I think for me, the highlight of the year, without a doubt.
Beautiful, beautiful. And all this is meant to kind of form the spiritual life of the man. So then that way, as he's going through the seminary, he has the tools then to discern and deepen the sense of being called to the priesthood. So then that way, by the time ordination comes around, he would have had the tools to thoroughly pray about his own discernment and come to that realization, yes, God is calling me. Or in some cases, men do discern out of the seminary. Sure. We would say that that's a success and that sort of thing. And the blessing of the spirituality year is it gives the men a deeper tool, you know, a deeper set of skills in a sense to discern, you know, where God's calling them, like this sense that of a calling, you know, you need prayer to respond to it, to hear it. We heard both men, you know, utilizing prayer time before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration, you know, and then, you know, at least in Philadelphia, we give this experience of the spirituality year, which it's a whole year of fostering silence. You know, the more we can quiet ourselves down from external distractions, right? There's a media fast most of the year. You know, you have a couple breaks, you know, on Saturday, and then, you know, obviously Christmas and Thanksgiving and that sort of thing. It's a time of, you know, break of that. But, you know, just to be able to put aside these things. Now, don't turn your radio off now. You know, do it afterwards if you're being inspired by these words. You know, listen to the whole show first and then. But so often we're distracted. And it can take away from our ability to pray. So, you know, like to be able to quiet ourselves down and have a whole year devoted to our spiritual life. Wow, what a great gift that is.
Yeah, just another thing just off of what you just said, too. It is certainly, without a doubt, a huge benefit towards discerning an individual's call, so my own call from God. But one of the priests on the retreat, and I think it applies to the retreat because that's where the context that he was saying it, but also to the whole year. In his homily, he just said, you know, this isn't really just about you guys. This is about all the people that you're ever going to come in contact with after this. Mm. It's about helping them realize that all of us are called to a prayer life with God because we're called to a relationship of love with God. And the only way to grow in love with somebody is to spend time with them. And that's what it was all about. So I think that's something to also keep, I mean, certainly with us, but also with just anybody that we come in contact with, especially if we are ordained someday and we're in a parish and helping to form parishioners in a spiritual life, it's going to be essential.
Well said, well said. So spend time with Jesus. If you want to have a close relationship with him, spend time with him. You know, go to the Adoration Chapel. I'm sure you're driving along, you know, allow yourself to be aware of where are the adoration chapels near you. And there's nothing better to do tonight than go to an adoration chapel. So I just challenge our listeners to go to an adoration chapel. If you want to know God's will in your life, the foolproof plan, in my opinion, is what I tell all the discerners that come to me, you know, try to make a daily holy hour. As you come to know Jesus and, you know, Jesus, you know, you're opening your heart to Jesus and you're allowing Jesus into those more intimate places in your being. You know, Jesus is also sharing with us the intimate places of his being. And one of the things he shares with us is what, you know, the Father wants us to do.
Greetings from the Vocations Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. The Vocations Office has created an official fan page on Facebook. Come visit our page titled Philly Priest at facebook.com/Philly Priest. The page has lots of great posts for everyone, the young and old, men and women, married and laypersons. Come and see what's happening at the seminary, in our parishes, schools, and events sponsored by the Vocations Office throughout the year. Visit our Facebook page and like us at facebook.com/Philly Priest. The Vocations Office official fan page on Facebook once again is facebook.com/Philly Priest. For more information on how to join us on Facebook, contact the Vocations Office at 610-667-5778.
Hello, my name is Father Gregory Semenyuk, Vicar for Cultural Ministries of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia with A Minute of Mercy. St. Vincent de Paul used the image of a coin to speak of the presence of Christ in the poor. On one face of the coin, one sees the poor and often avoids and rejects them. This is the side of the crucified Christ. On the other face, one sees the risen Christ. Vincent de Paul was a man of faith who drew close to the disfigured Christ in the sick, the abused, the hungry, and the abandoned. When our faith is moved by love for the poor, the joy of the gospel is alive and present. In the year of mercy, the spirituality of St. Vincent de Paul presents us with the compassionate heart of Jesus Christ. I am Father Gregory Semenyuk, and this has been A Minute of Mercy.
Well, praise God. You know, we are here with Greg Miller and Chris Mazzaro, two fine seminarians. And I wanted to see, you know, we'll go back to Greg here. What did you learn this year? You know, how has your first year in the seminary made you a better person, a better Catholic, a better ultimate player? You know, how has this year improved you?
Oh, in many ways, I've been blessed. I first want to say that the reason why I went into First College was because I came out of high school, and I didn't go to a college, and I don't have a college degree yet. So I go into the college program at the seminary, and then I'll earn a degree in philosophy. And then the reason why Chris went into the spiritual year is because he already had a degree, and so he'll do the spiritual year, or he already did the spiritual year, and then he'll do 2 years of pre-theology. And then you'll go on to theology for 4 years. But, okay, so...
And that is why he runs the Ultimate Tournament. He's getting... I'm sorry. Thank you for that, because the listening audience didn't need to hear that. I'm just being a goofball by picking on you now. So go ahead.
Well, thank you, Father. Now, I think one of the ways I was blessed was because going through the seminary, I was able to focus on God's will in my life, and I was able to understand. I came to understanding of a lot of things, like, you know, what exactly it is to be a saint, you know, and how much work that takes, and how much effort you have to put in, and how much you have to just devote your entire life to Christ. Now I learned that it's a lot of work, but I'm still learning how to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then in some of the spiritual things, I learned, you know, how to pray the breviary. Now that's a book, and the priests pray it five times a day, and it's important. It extends your prayer from Mass, you know, throughout the entire day, and it's just beautiful because you're able to recognize that Jesus is with you throughout your entire day by taking this time out of the individual hours in the day and taking the time setting aside for Jesus. And that was really important. And then some of the academic things I learned, I had my first philosophy class.
Mm.
That was interesting. One of the main things I took away from that, because it was ancient philosophy, and it was probably the most fun philosophy class I'll have. Hopefully not, right? And I learned that, you know, we haven't really, you know, had a different process of thought since Aristotle. that was fun. I went through history and got all the gen eds and everything. And liturgy, that was a great class. I learned the reasons behind, you know, why we do each thing in the Mass, you know, and the sign and the importance of the signs of the liturgy. And it was just beautiful, and it was a great class, and I was happy to be there.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Greg. And, you know, Chris, well, you know, after the spirituality year, what has developed in your own life? What have you grown in?
Sure. Well, one of the blessings of the spiritual year, and this isn't something that obviously any person who's attempting to grow in their spiritual life is going to necessarily have this aspect, but we were in a different community from the rest of the seminarians. So, like I said earlier, there were only 9 of us living together with the priest, so 10 of us total, and we did just about everything together, from prayer in the morning to class to meals together, work together around the house, sports when we had time to do that sort of stuff. So I think one of the biggest things I learned was just, I guess, interactions. I mean, that's the human formation. That's what we're getting at with that pillar. How to interact with other people, especially people that you might have differences with personality with. Because that's something that each of us come in contact with people like that all the time, every day. But we're called to love each and every person. And so that's, I mean, it was a huge, huge blessing for that, because we were constantly with each other. So you couldn't run from things. If there was an issue, it was time for self-examination to see what was wrong with how I was dealing with it. And where am I being asked by God to grow in virtue in this? And so that was huge. That was huge. But, you know, the main part of the year, like I said, was the spiritual formation, so prayer life. So I think just one of the things I really learned, just a couple quick things, is one of the most important things with prayer is to be faithful to it. There's a good saying by one of the priests. He said, the only people that experience dryness in prayer are those who are being faithful to prayer. If you're not being faithful to prayer, then the second dryness comes, you're going to run away from it. But those who actually advance in their prayer life are the ones that stick it out. Even when it's frustrating and dry and you're bored and you just don't think anything's happening, you'd be surprised when God and how God can act in moments like that. So being faithful, that's huge. And the other thing really is, you know, don't be afraid to use your imagination in prayer, to do Lectio Divina, to pray the rosary. Meditations with scripture are obviously huge. Spiritual reading and prayer is huge. To just give God the opportunity to speak to you. And don't forget that we are people who have been created by God, entirely created by God. So he can use our emotions and our desires and our thoughts and our imagination and all of those different aspects of us in prayer to communicate something to us. It's not just about thinking up amazing things all the time, but experiencing how we're feeling at a certain point based off of a meditation. So those were some of the main things that really stuck out. And just experience is a huge part of prayer too. You can read books all you want, but the biggest teacher is definitely going to be experiencing it for yourself.
Well said. Well, yeah, everyone's listening to the Vocation Hour, and we have two great seminarians here, Greg Miller and Chris Mazzaro, who are both completed their first year in the seminary. We'll find out when their ordination date will be. You know, I'll give them a chance to think about that. If you're pondering a call to the priesthood, and those you know, women out there who may be calling, you know, pondering a call to the religious life, I'm happy to receive a call from you to help you kind of discern, you know, where God's calling you. The goal is not to try to get everyone to become priests and religious sisters. You know, the church would look very silly if we were all priests and religious. It's important for us to, you know, people to respond to the call to the married life and you know, to respond to whatever it is that God's calling you to. You know, and so, you know, like what we said earlier, just it's a beautiful challenge out there. You know, are you living your life for yourself, or are you living your life for Christ? You know, and, you know, depending on how you answer that, we should probably, it's a good sign if you said yes, and I'm living my life for Christ. And I can almost guarantee, just, you know, piggybacking on what Chris just said, you know, you're probably already praying. You're probably praying the rosary. You're probably spending time before the Blessed Sacrament. But if you're saying no, like, I'm really living my life for myself, well, you're probably not doing a holy hour. You're probably not going to daily mass. You're probably not praying the rosary. And so, you know, prayer really powerfully impacts us. And in order for us to mature in the Christian life, to fully become who we're meant to be, you know, we need to pray adequately. And, you know, it was the gift of prayer that led these two gentlemen to answer the call to at least enter the seminary. Now they're further, you know, discerning their call to the priesthood, and, you know, good things are happening. If I can help you with prayer, if I can help you with your discernment, don't hesitate to reach out to me. My name is Father DeLacy. I'm the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. My website is Heed the Call. You can also get an encore copy of this radio show. You know, this radio show will be aired, you know, tomorrow at various points for different stations, but also you can get it online by going to the Heed the Call website. So if you're like, oh, I wish this person heard the story of Greg or heard the story of Chris, well, you can simply go online and get the archive of it, and you can send it to your friends. So this is the Vocation Hour, just another plug for the ordination, the consecration of Bishop-elect Ed Delaman, who is a good and holy priest from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, to be ordained a bishop on August 18th at 2:00 in the afternoon at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Center City, Philadelphia. There's no tickets that are needed, so all are welcome to attend. So if you've never been to an ordination before, really treat yourself, because it is a very rich ceremony. The Holy Spirit does a very powerful work, working through the archbishop and the co-consecrators of the bishop. And, you know, with the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit will come upon, Father Delamain, Monsignor Delamain, transform him into Bishop Delamain. It's just going to be, a very powerful moment. And then, we get there to witness, and there's a lot of, symbolic acts that really highlight the beauty and the dignity of being a bishop, and to be able to witness that is a real grace. So treat yourself, come out. I believe it's a Thursday afternoon, so just play hooky from work if you have to. If anyone has any problems with that, just tell their bosses to call the vocation office. I have no problem talking to their bosses. I don't know if it'll get you anywhere, but I have no problem talking to your bosses. And that is, I'm sorry, I distracted myself. That is August 18th. At 2 o'clock, the ordination of Bishop Delamain. So, well, praise God, we have two outstanding individuals here, and both of you kind of I know both of your stories, and Chris, you had mentioned that Father Nordeman played a very good role in your life. What other priests have impacted you? And now that you're in the seminary, what priests have given you good examples? So the priests that impacted you before the seminary, and then even some of the priests that impacted you while you were in the seminary. And Chris, we got Greg's age is 20 as of today. Woohoo, his birthday. Happy birthday there, Greg.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. So what? Before we go there, we have to explore a little bit more. What are you doing to celebrate your birthday besides the radio show?
I think I'm going home to an ice cream cake and some Chinese food. It'll be great.
Nice, nice. An ice cream cake and Chinese food. That's all. Is that a birthday tradition?
This year it is.
Okay. That's outstanding. That's outstanding. And Chris, how old are you at this point? And
I'm 25.
You're 25. Wonderful. Wonderful. And then if you guys want to share, the priests that have impacted you.
Sure. So I mentioned Father Nordeman already, who was the chaplain for the Newman Center at Westchester University during the 4 years that I was there. So he was huge, huge impact. And I'd have to mention, too, Father John Sims Baker, who was the chaplain for Vanderbilt Catholic, for University Catholic at Vanderbilt University. So I was down there for 2 years, got to know him really well as well. Both of them had an enormous impact on my life prior to the seminary. And just holy priests, and really give a good example of what a holy priest should be. So in the seminary, I would have to say, if I pick one, I'd probably say Father Christopher Cook, just because that's who was the director for the spiritual year. So I spent quite a bit of time with him over the past year. Wonderful man, wonderful priest, and a great leader and director for us on the spiritual year. So those are the three.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Thank you, Chris.
The priests in my life that have really impacted me were... is the pastor at Sacred Heart in Royersford, Father Di Maria. And if I hadn't talked to him, and if he hadn't, continued talking to me, I probably would not be here at this moment, because you have to go to him. And I went to him and said, I'm interested in the priesthood. And then he really talked me through it and really put me at ease with a lot of the thoughts that come into your mind while discerning vocation of the priesthood. And he was a very, very big part in my discernment, and I thank him for that. And then another priest would be Father Mike Speziel. He was the chaplain at Archbishop Carroll, where I went to high school in Radnor. And he was a great example of just a happy, loving priest who always put others in his life before his own. And he's just a great, great man, and I thank him very much for his vocation. And then a priest at the seminary who was a great example of a priest. I would say is Father Jeffrey, and he's our he teaches various things at the seminary. I think he's teaching a Hebrew class. And he's just very, very smart, very knowledgeable, and just very loving, and has a very strong relationship with Jesus Christ, and puts prayer as a priority in his life, and is just always loving. He's been through a lot, and he's still just so loving, and I thank him very much for his priesthood.
Mm, beautiful. Wow. Well, we're at the time of the show where we have to pick an MVP, who the most valuable priest of the show is. And you're the only
priest on the show. Oh. About that.
So by default, I'm the MVP of the show. Like that is too funny, Ed. Woohoo! Well, congratulations to me, and it's an honor to receive it. I want to thank all the people out there. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, no, we'll just stop that. But we do tend to pick a priest out there who's had a significant influence. And it's a tough one because we brought up so many wonderful priests here. If you notice, didn't have any impact in any one of these guys' lives. No, I'm kidding. But I think we'll have a co MVP for this show because of so many good priests. And let's make Father DeMarie and Father Nordeman the co MVPs for this show. Right. So congratulations, and it's a very coveted honor amongst the priests to be the MVP for the Vocation Hour. I don't even know if they know we do this, but anyway. so praise God. So, well, what words of encouragement and insight would you give to a man who's thinking about the priesthood, or somebody who's just deliberating about doing God's will?
I would say, Mass and prayer, and then I'll add on there, obviously, service in the community have to be three huge things. I think one of the big things for me quickly was just that I realized when I began to try and fulfill the primary vocation that each of us has, which is the call to holiness, that's when the second one started to follow in its train. So I think that's a big thing. Fulfill the primary one, be holy, and God will do the rest.
That makes it easy. That's perfect. That's perfect.
That was wonderful. Yeah. For me, along with Mass and prayer, so much prayer goes into discernment. Even if you're discerning, a job or a career path in college, it's prayer. Let me tell you. And then also trust in Jesus and God that he's doing the right thing for you, that he won't lead you astray, and he's always there with you through every tough moment in your discernment. And to grow in a close relationship with Jesus would be very important, because how can you know, what he wants you to do without that close relationship? And how do you build that relationship? Through prayer. So prayer, and then also to know that you have to trust in Jesus and God's will for you, and to trust what they have to say.
And both, both of you beautifully emphasize prayer, and that's so important. That identity we're supposed to have, where we're beloved children of God, one of the signs that we're embracing that identity is how much do we go to God in prayer? If we see ourselves as being loved by God, and God is our Father, and we're being loved by him, then we're going to want to experience and be in that love as much as possible, right? And we're going to want to be just like the Son, who, we're sharing in his very sonship by being able to call God our Father. We're going to want to be as united to him as possible. And so, part of our identity of being these beloved children of God, is a driving force for us to become more prayerful. And I would say, if we're not praying, we're probably struggling with our identity. And also, if we're not trusting, if we hear a story, if you're hearing the story, you'd be like, boy, those guys are radical. They're Jesus freaks. They're trusting in Jesus. They're just doing this life because they think, that's where Jesus is guiding them. And if it sounds that unreal, or if it sounds that too unradical to trust Jesus that way, well, that's a struggle. That's your identity as a Christian, your identity of who Jesus is and the role that he has in your life has not been as well formed. And I just challenge you to go to Jesus and come to know him in a deeper and fuller way so that, you know, you can experience his love in the fullest possible way. So we're getting near the end. I think we can have a final word. You know, so okay, we have some time. We have, you know, six minutes here. So you know, what types of things do you guys like to do for fun? Like when you go and hang out with your friends and that sort of thing. You know, what do you do for fun? You know, we know Ultimate is part of that, right, Craig?
Oh yes, oh yeah. I also like to go to the movies with my friends. You know, it's something, you know, that we can all do together, and it's fun. You know, you get together, maybe go get some food afterwards. And I like fishing. That's fun, and also kayaking. Those are my good pastimes.
Nice. Where do you like to go kayaking?
I have the Schuylkill River, pretty close to my house, and so you know I'll just take the kayaks down there.
Nice. I've driven by 422, and I think I've seen you now. So, that's awesome. Have you ever combined fishing and kayaking?
I haven't. No. That'd be a good idea, though. It's just.
just a thought. And have you seen any interesting movies recently?
Well, I'm hoping to see Star Trek tonight.
Oh, wonderful. That's awesome. So good. And then, Chris, what do you like to do for fun?
I'm a big sports guy. I enjoy kayaking. I don't do it very often, and I don't really ever fish. Those aren't on my list. But I'm a big football fan. I like playing basketball a lot. I like to golf. I played Ultimate Frisbee for a long while, and I'm a big fan of it, too. It's been a while, but I did, yeah. And volleyball's big. Just to shake things up a little bit, since I know most of our listeners are from around the Philadelphia area and in New Jersey, to be honest with you, I don't like the Eagles, though. I'm a Giants fan. I know most people probably just shut off the radios. So, but I just had to throw that one in there. I like kind of shaking things up with that a little bit.
So you have successfully completed the spirituality year,
and I'm still a Giants fan.
Wow. Well, I may have to recommend that you go through the spirituality year one more time.
It's all right. Okay.
Because obviously, if you go through the spirituality year, you should be an Eagles fan afterwards. But
I am a Phillies fan, though. So all of you that are really angry with us right now, that just know that I am a Phillies fan.
Okay. That's a good thing. So see that, you know, seminarians don't have to be perfect to be in that. We do take seminarians of all, you know, places in their lives and that sort of thing. Hopefully, one day Chris will have the appropriate conversion experience that's needed to. Well, you know, like the Vocation Hour is not totally free from scandal, so that's
there. That's right. I just had to put a little bit in there.
that's too funny. That's too funny. So you mentioned golf.
Yes.
You know, I find golf so frustrating. You know, it is the hardest sport because I guess, you know, you have nobody else to blame when you mess up but yourself.
That is true. That's a good point.
So you know, how have you grown in your game of golf? Like,
well, I mean, where I live, there's about 15 minutes away, there was this public golf course when I was in middle school and high school. A really good friend of mine, we used to go there, and on like Tuesday nights or something like that, they'd have a youth night. So you would go, and they would just have tons of balls in the driving range, and a couple of the golf pros at this public course would come out there, and you would just go and hit golf balls. And then they would kind of help you with your swing a little bit. And then after a little while, they would just send people, they'd send us out onto the course to go play as long as it was until it was dark. So I started doing that, and then I've played with my dad a bunch of times. We try and go out a bunch every year, every summer. And so we've been doing that for quite a few years now. So I wouldn't say, you know, which qualify this a little bit, I'm not very good. So I've been playing for a while, but let's just put that out there. But it is a fun game. I mean, it is a frustrating game. You are the only one. You can only blame it on yourself and the occasional car that drives by or something like that if you really want to make an excuse. But I think one of the things I really enjoy about it the most is it's very peaceful out on a golf course, and you're just out, and I really enjoy being out in nature. And so there's not much around. There's birds all over the place, and so it's just I think it's a beautiful place to be. Just, you know, go out for some exercise and walk around while you're hitting a golf ball. It's a good thing. I enjoy it. It's a hobby that I really like.
Outstanding. No, it's a great hobby. Well, we're very blessed here to have Chris Mazzaro and Greg Miller here on the show two phenomenal seminarians completed their first year. Remember their names, because you know we'll follow them along as we continue on the Vocation Hour radio show. I'm sure we'll have them back on later in their seminary careers as they're pursuing the priesthood. And please pray for all the seminarians, and please pray for all the men who are discerning a call to the priesthood, because God is being faithful in calling. There's no real vocation shortage. The only shortage might be a response shortage, but if we have the identity of being sons of and daughters of God, if we pray the way we ought to, then we're going to hear God's call and have the strength to respond to God's call. So that is a very important. With special mention, we have to thank Jocelyn, our producer here, who actually has labored all day at work and has stayed late to produce this show. So we thank you very much, Jocelyn, for the great work that you're doing, and we thank God for our wonderful seminarians. Let's as we close in prayer, let's pray for Bishop-elect Delaman, who on August 18th in the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul, at 2:00 in the afternoon, will be ordained a bishop. All are welcome to attend. The mass and celebration will be bilingual in Spanish and English, and it'll be a beautiful celebration. So we'll also remember him. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for all the many gifts that you give to us. We thank you for the ways that you provide for the church by calling men and women to various acts of service. We thank you for the response of Bishop-elect Delaman, who said yes to the call to the priesthood and is now giving a further yes to the call to the episcopate. We ask you, Lord, that you bless him with the strength, give him the courage to be bold in proclaiming the gospel, give him the energy to do the work that and service that you ask of him, and that we ask you allow him to experience your peace and your joy as he continues to, minister the gospel with your love and with your power. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of Chris and Greg. We ask that you continue to bless their discernment and allow them to be guided by your love and by the gift of your Holy Spirit. And we pray for all of our listening audience, everyone who is actively discerning your call, that you give them very powerful grace to be able to hear and answer their call so that they can give you glory with their lives and that they can fulfill the mission that you have loved them into being. And we ask this all through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. May God bless you and have a great night.